who lived to tell the story of his imprisonment by the Japanese during World War II.
I'm kind of proud of the fact that I'm a survivor. I wouldn't go on and go back through it, but I wouldn't trade it either. It changed my life completely.
Listen to Ben Steele American on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Let's keep it moving. 709-700-WLW. It's Arnell Carrier Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. We've been busy tonight. Dave Lapham on the Bengals. Justin Williams on the Bearcats. Tom Gamble on the Crosstown Showdown. Let's add some basketball to the mix. Our next guest has 42 years of sports writing under his belt, primarily covering UC Athletics for the Inquirer and for the Post. He has written a new book. I've read every book he's written. I think he's been on my show every time he's written a book. This book, and I've had the pleasure of being able to comb through it over the last 24 hours, is phenomenal. It is titled Hugs. Former players talk about what it's like to play for a Hall of Fame coach. He has interviewed Kenyon Martin, Corey Blunt, Nelson, Van Exel, Brannon, Logan, Hicks, you name it. He talked to him. It's made for fantastic reading. For more on that, let's go straight to the source and welcome in Bill Cook. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Lance. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. I have so much enjoyed the sneak preview you've presented to me, and I laughed because you admit early on that after your first interview, you had a decision to make. Tell listeners what that decision was.
Well, I had to decide if I was going to use the actual colorful language that the players used and that they echoed the language that they heard from Hugs all those years. Should I clean it up? Should I sanitize it, or should I present it the way it was? And I decided if the book was going to be authentic, I had to do it. I had to write it the way they talked and the way Hugs talked to them. So that's what I did.
And Bill, I got to tell you, in doing that, I mean, there's just some classic blow-ups. But when I read Nick Van Exel's description of the Michigan State blow-up, their Final Four season, where Hugs said, quote, "I'm going to F up your Christmas," and Nick said he was turning purple. I mean, those descriptions, I mean, that's the essence of Hugs and how he could be, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Like he, in his post-game interview after that game, he told the media he hoped his players had a miserable Christmas. And then he came back like the next day and he said, "I don't think I really said that." Well, obviously he did, because Nick Van Exel remembered it all these years later. There's so many stories like that that I can't tell all of them on the radio because of that language. But one thing in particular that was funny was Keith Greger. He was reaming out Keith Greger one day. And the assistant coaches used to always tell the players, "Don't get upset about how he's talking to you. Pay attention to what he says, not how he says it." And Hugs is reaming out Keith one day, and Keith turns to John Lawyer and said, "Coach, if I filter out all the cuss words, he didn't say anything."
Oh, I love that. And it's consistent through the storytelling from Corey Blunt on through, there was a genuine level of care he had. And I was struck by, I think it was one of the final interviews you had with him for the book where, and I'm paraphrasing, Bob said to you, "People can say whatever they want, but don't say I didn't care because I did." And I thought that was very telling as well about who Hugs is.
Yeah, and I think that's really the essence of who he is, more than the language. Or I guess it's the caring for the players and his commitment, his obsession with winning, those two things combined. And the players, the affection they have for that guy is amazing to me. I knew they were loyal to him, but I didn't know the extremes to that went, how far that went. And I found it out with the first interview I did with Terrence Gibson. See, it helps me that I know all these guys because I covered them when they were playing. And Terrence Gibson was at UC. When UC suspended Hugs, they had a press conference to announce a suspension, and they made Hugs read this statement after his DUI. And I turned around, in the back of the room, there was Terrence Gibson and Corey Blunt. And I asked Terrence during the interview for this book, I said, "Terrence, I got to ask you, why did you think it was so important to be at that press conference to support your coach?" And he was in his car, and he started crying. And he apologized to me and said, "I'm really sorry, Bill. I, I get all emotional when I talk about him. And he said, the reason I was there is because I love him, because he changed my life. He asked me what I wanted to do early on. You know, Terrence was never going to play in the NBA. And he asked Terrence, what do you want out of this? And Terrence said, Coach, all I want is a good paying job to support my family. And he said, that's what I got. He delivered to me what he promised. He said, I did my part and he did his part. And as soon as I had that interview, I thought, this is a pretty good idea for a book, because all those guys have stories like that.
Bill Cook, my guest. The book is Hugs. Former players talk about what it's like to play for a Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins. There is a question you ask him that even the hair standing up now, because I've gone back and read it several times based on his answer. You pointed out to him, or floated the idea to him, that perhaps his departure from UC worked out for the best because he got to go home and he got to coach at his alma mater. Kind of paraphrase what his response was to what you offered up to him there.
I was as surprised as it sounds like you were, because I thought he'd say, yeah, it worked out great. But he said, no, not really.
Yeah.
He said, and he started talking about, you know, how he really lashed out at Nancy Zimpher and to a lesser extent, Bob. But he talked about what the players meant to him and the city and everything. And I don't think he's ever gotten over that. I think from talking to some of his former assistants, like Frank Martin and Andy Kennedy, who were here around that time, that really hurt him. And I think it hurt him more than he ever let on, and I think it still does. I think that scar is still there. He is beloved in the entire state of West Virginia, from what the players down there tell me, maybe even more than he was here. But I think he still thinks he belongs in Cincinnati, that this was his city.
Bill, go bigger picture here. Explain how you approach, who you talk to, and what your approach is in presenting the book, and how you kind of delivered what you wanted presented in this book.
Well, I wanted to get all the big name players from UC. I had trouble getting Danny Fortson because he doesn't do things like that anymore. Had trouble getting Kenyon Martin. Once I got those guys, they were fantastic. But I wanted to get. They were going to be mostly UC players because I think that's where Hugs had his greatest success, and that's where Hugs was in his essence. And I also think he's one of the most compelling sports characters in Cincinnati in maybe the last 30 years. Maybe Lou Piniella, Bob Huggins. Yep. I don't know. So I wanted to get all those UC players, and I got everybody that I wanted. I got John Lawyer. I had trouble getting him, but I got him too. But I also wanted to get some players from the other schools that he coached at. I got a few guys from Walsh College, from Akron. I got a guy from Kansas State, and a handful of guys from West Virginia. And I even talked to the athletic director at Kansas State who gave him the chance to get back into coaching about the thought process that went through when he hired Hugs. And then I just let him talk. Basically, I talked to him on the phone, and I'd have a list of questions, things that I knew from their backgrounds, and just let him talk. Wrote a little narrative for each one. It's basically each player's story, their story with Hugs.
You go back to his first days taking the job, and I still laugh when I think of, I remember talking with coaches at that time when Hugs took the UC job and what he said that first day of his expectations. And I remember other coaches telling me, he says, does he know what he's walking into? But he didn't care. And just that brazen, I'm going to do it. I don't care if anybody doesn't think I can do it or not. I'm going to do it. And that's what that was the start of this city just falling in love with the guy.
Yeah, he said he wanted UC to be like UCLA used to be. And he said, I don't know if that's still quite as possible, but if you don't dream big, if you don't shoot high, then you're never going to achieve anything. And the players, the guys who were there, left over from the Yates regime, what they really appreciated about him, excuse me, is that he didn't come to them and say, this is going to be a 5-year rebuilding process. He said, we're going to win now. He didn't want to cheat those guys out of their last 2 years of playing college basketball. Mm-hmm. And he changed the culture. He changed it the first day of practice. I remember I was working at the Post. Tom Gresham was at the Inquirer. We were at the first practice. And you could tell the difference right away, the way he was yelling at players, the way he was insisting that they use the proper footwork, that they were going to play the game the right way. I remember they had a player named Orlando Williams who took a charge, and he went down on the ground and he was kind of rolling around like he was hurt. And Hugs said, Orlando, they're not going to stop the game for you. We're not going to stop practice either. Get up. Let's go. And I remember, I don't know if I said it to Gresh or if he said it to me, but one of us turned together and said, wow, this guy can coach. Like, we could tell the first 5 minutes, we could tell that there was going to be a difference.
Oh, it is. I have so much enjoyed what I've read to this point. When does it come out, and how will listeners be able to get their hands on it?
I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure it'll be out, available on Amazon next week. And then after that, you'll be able to order them from me. I have a Facebook page, BillCookBooks.com, and hopefully I'll get them in the bookstores locally, too.
I say this not because you're on, but because I mean it. I've sat since you gave me a bit of a sneak preview and read, and I've gone back and read things multiple times, and I've laughed at times. I've rolled my eyes at times. I said, man, I can see him doing that at times. It is a really fantastic read. Congratulations on it, and best of luck with it.
Thanks, Lance. I have to tell you, when I've been going back, like doing final edits and proofreading, and I'll be sitting in my living room, and then I'll start laughing because I'll see a story that, I mean, I did the interview and I wrote the book, and I still laugh at it. But anyway, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Take care, Bill.
Okay,
all right, there you go. Bill Cook, the new book, Hugs. Former players talk about what it's like to play for a Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins. And I mean, the Nick Van Exel story of Huggins after they had a big lead against Michigan State in his third season, their Final Four season, and they blew it. And what Huggs did and how he looked doing it. And then the next day, I didn't say that. The scope of players that Bill got a hold of from UC, West Virginia, and other parts, including his assistants. Just excellent, excellent stuff. Take a time out to continue. Hey, coming up around 7:35, Jason Williams, the new sports columnist for The Inquirer, will check in. This is Arnell Carrier Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
Linda, how'd you like Stars in the Morning?
Stars? You only get those at night.
What about Chuck Ingram?
The Traffic Star?
Seg Dennison?
The Sports Star?
Jennifer Ketchmark?
The Weather Star?
You can have all those stars in the morning.
Come on, Hollywood doesn't have that many stars.
But Mike McConnell in the Morning does.
Did you hear that, folks? We can have Stars in the Morning.
Get Stars in the Morning with Mike McConnell. Tomorrow morning at 5 on 700 WLW.
Some big news. Dick Morris's new book came out, and it says Donald Trump is running for president. And right after that,